welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of April 23rd. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and wounded Melissa Hansen.
Yes, I am. I have boo-boos. talk about entertaining. I wish you guys had been there to see it. I was out for a run with my mom's dog, and of course she stepped right in front of me, and I didn't want to hurt her, so I hurt myself and went down pretty hard.
Ouch.
Right on my hands and knees, and as I was going down, I'm like, not the face, not the face. And so I tried to protect it and thought it was okay in the last second, kind of bump the chin too, but I will survive. Yes. But yeah, that would have been quite entertaining to see, I'm sure.
So was that the highlight of your entertainment week, or were there other things going on?
Well, I am, because I'm so far behind everyone, I actually started watching Mad Men.
Oh, from season one?
I know, shame on me for not watching it yet. But I'm doing it on Netflix.
Okay.
I watched about the first half of the first season, so I'm not that far into it. And a lot of people I know love it, and I kept meaning to watch it and finally got around to it. And, you know, I like it. I don't love it.
Well, you know, it's hard to live up to the hype sometimes, especially this far.
I don't know if it's that or I'm just not loving it. I like the actors, you know, I like the characters and all that, but it's leaving me a little flat. I kind of, my mind wanders during it. It's a little bit boring, which is, you know, not necessarily bad. I like other things that don't have huge action or just kind of character study kind of thing. Whatever. Like the other thing I actually watched this week is I watched The Descendants for like the third time. And it's still, I think, my favorite movie from last year.
Yeah.
And that's more character study stuff, and I love it. So it's not just that, but I'm not a huge fan.
Well, I have nothing to say because I've never even seen a single episode. So.
Yeah, so we'll see if it grows. I'm going to, you know, give it a really good shot. I'm going to watch it all.
Yeah.
But we'll see if it grows on me a bit.
Well, I'm doing a little bit of television watching myself, but old school television. So Logan's Run, which was a movie with Michael York and Jenny Agutter back in 1976.
Okay.
CBS jumped on the MGM bandwagon and wanted to turn this, because this was the age of Star Wars, right? So everyone wanted something sci-fi. So CBS snatched it up and said, we're going to make a TV series out of it against everybody's better judgment. And they only aired 10 episodes.
Okay. That's surprising.
Yeah.
It's that long.
They produced 14. They only showed 10. And I guess three more aired in Europe. And then the 14th one is on this release from Warner Home Video.
Okay. So all of them are on there.
All of them are on here. It's Gregory Harrison, who most people know from Trapper John, M.D.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of TV. I think he's on Ringer right now with Sarah Michelle Gellar. And he's done a lot of television, a lot of stage work. And his co-star in this was, I think it's Heather Menzies was her name.
Okay.
And you may not recognize the name,
mm-mm,
but she played Louisa in Sound of Music.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And not only that, she went on to become Robert Urich's wife.
Wait, how did I miss this?
Yeah. Interesting. I mean,
I missed that bit of Hollywood gossip.
Yeah. And I'm only a few episodes in at this point, but Angela Cartwright, who was also in Sound of Music,
right,
guests on one of the episodes.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's just kind of one of those little inside things. I mean, she's really good. She never really went on to do a whole lot of other big stuff. I mean, she did other television, but she was married to Bob until he passed away from cancer. And she herself is an ovarian cancer survivor.
Wow, yeah. That's all news to me.
Yeah. So
there, we're doing our news segment early.
I guess so. But it's an interesting show. I mean, it's a little flat. They changed the movie around to make it adapt to a TV environment. So they added another character, and they gave them a car so they could travel around and find all these other people who survived the nuclear war. And this is generations removed from that. And, you know, it's the same type of thing as Battlestar Galactica was, the original. It has that same type of feel. Buck Rogers, the same kind of adventure of the week type of thing. And it has a fugitive element because they're being pursued by another Sandman who's trying to capture them and bring them back to the Domed City. So it's worth seeing if you're a fan of the TV series, if you remember. I distinctly remember aspects of this television show.
Okay.
And I only would have been 9 or 10 years old at the time, but part of it stays with me, so.
All right.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing this week.
Okay.
And I have not gotten to the movies, and there's a lot of things happening at the box office, so why don't we go ahead and check and see.
Yeah, surprising stuff at the box office. I wouldn't have called this one, but The Hunger Games is out of there, well, out of first place.
Yeah.
You know, and after $357 million, but it's dropped to third.
Yeah, and taken down by Steve Harvey and Zac Efron.
Seriously, I did not see this coming at all. Uh-huh. Think Like a Man came in first. Wow. And like you said, Steve Harvey.
Unbelievable.
It's about relationships. It's an urban movie about relationships.
And it's not a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah, imagine that. I didn't know they made other ones besides Tyler Perry ones. But $33 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did really well. And then the lucky one was Zac Efron, you know, is a Marine, and it's not a comedy, surprisingly, made almost $23 million.
So he's got bank. He can front a movie.
He can.
Yeah.
He can. Now, this is a Nicholas Sparks story, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just has a little pull just in that, but not enough to do that.
Okay.
All on its own. Yeah, he can open a movie. So good for him.
Yeah.
Just finishing up the top five, Chimpanzee is number four.
Well, you know, it's the counter programming for kids and families, and right. That Disney nature stuff has done extremely well.
And then rounding out the top five is the Three Stooges.
Okay.
Yeah, and Cabin in the Woods is still hanging in there.
Yeah, I think that's going to do exceptionally well on home video and streaming.
That too. It's getting really good reviews.
Yeah.
From everybody I know that's seen it.
And everybody's being very good about not spoiling the movie.
Yes.
Coming up this next week, there's not a whole lot to look forward to. I mean, we're kind of on that cusp, just waiting for the summer movie season to start. And they keep starting it earlier and earlier every year, but I think The Avengers is the first big one that's going to...
But this week, there's actually one I'm a little excited about.
The one starring John Cusack, perhaps?
Oh, how could you guess? No, The Raven, which John Cusack plays Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And the storyline is that someone's out murdering people kind of based on his writing. So he ends up joining the police, like helping them with their investigation. It sounds kind of dumb, but I'm just intrigued. Yeah, him playing Edgar Allan Poe.
But doesn't this sound like a movie that was tailor-made for Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this should have been, and I'm sure it would have been really different. This should have been like a Tim Burton, Johnny Depp movie.
Yeah. Although it's very much like Sleepy Hollow because
that's
just what that
so,
was.
But I'm actually intrigued to see that one. Something a little different for him. So
yeah. Well, and V for Vendetta director John McTeague is directing this. Mm-hmm. And it's got a big British cast. So you've got Brendan Gleeson, who was Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
And Kevin McNally, who was Mr. Gibbs in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. It should do reasonably well, I would expect. The other big draw this week is another romantic comedy. Nick Stoller, who co-wrote The Muppets with Jason Segel, mm-hmm. is directing this, and Jason's in it, and Judd Apatow is producing it. And it's Emily Blunt, who is married to John Krasinski from The Office. And the reason I say that, because Parks and Rec's Chris Pratt mm-hmm. is co-starring, as well as Community's Alison Brie.
So and Mad Men's Alison Brie, speaking of.
Is she on Mad Men, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's on it. She plays Angel's son, Connor's wife.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. I did not know.
So, see, now you got to watch Mad Men.
Yeah. Well,
look at Alison Brie.
When I have time.
Not so cute, actually. But.
And continuing that family counter-programming this week, we have The Pirates, Band of Misfits, mm-hmm. which is another stop-motion animation from the folks at Aardman Animation, who did Wallace and Gromit and Creature Comforts.
Yeah, it looks so cute. And the voice cast.
Oh, it's huge.
Again, talking about a British cast. Hello.
Yeah, Hugh Grant, David Tennant, Brian
Martin
Blessed,
Freeman.
Martin Freeman, Brendan Gleeson, again, Ashley Jensen. But then it also has Jeremy Piven and Al Roker.
And Salma Hayek.
And Salma Hayek. Yeah. Al Roker? Really? Al Roker?
Yeah. He's branching out, I guess.
Maybe Matt Lauer is going to get him kicked off the show, too, like he's going to get rid of Ann Curry.
Don't even say it. That's stupid. We love Ann Curry.
Okay, so if you're not going to the movies, let's go and check and see what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. If you go over to DVDverdict.com and click on the upcoming releases tab or the cover art gallery for April 24th, not a huge selection.
No, there's Mark Wahlberg's Contraband.
Yes.
It's kind of the one bigger one that's on there.
Yeah. Pariah, which was another mm-hmm. festival kind of award
big,
season favorite.
Big indie one.
Camelot, the original 60s, early 70s, the adaptation of the Lerner and Lowe stage play with Richard Harris and Vanessa Redgrave, which I just saw recently, and it holds up. It's a little bit more drawn out than I remember it being.
Okay.
It drags at parts.
It's still worth it.
But it's still worth seeing.
All right. Another one, Dark Tide, which is Halle Berry in a bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's Oliver Martinez, her current fiancé.
Being hunted by a shark.
Yeah.
If you're looking forward to the Avengers, we mentioned that Netflix has a whole bunch of stuff for you to look at last week. Well, it's all coming to DVD this week. Mm-hmm. A lot of it on Blu-ray, and the anime series that Marvel did for the Japanese market is now being brought over and dubbed here. So I think it's X-Men and Iron Man, and you get to see their take on these classic characters.
Okay. The Titanic miniseries from a couple weeks ago, in case you're not Titanic'd out, it's the new version, and it's out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
And there's a bunch of reality TV stuff here, too, if you're a fan of Top Chef or Real Housewives of New York, Top Shot, which is a competitive archery show.
Right. And then Billy the Exterminator, the A&E show.
Oh, God.
That's out on DVD this week, too. So, yeah, there's a bunch of different reality shows coming out.
Yeah, feel free to peruse this week and every other week. I just went and spent a whole bunch of time uploading a whole lot more for the month of May, new releases that are heading your way, and Verdict benefits from you guys spending some time and some money, if you so choose, on these pages and shopping at Amazon.com, and we appreciate your business there. But if you're not interested in DVD or Blu-ray, the streaming media is always open 24/7 for you to kind of fill your entertainment needs with weird stuff, like over at Netflix this week, the Richie Rich cartoon series.
Oh, fun.
Based on the old kids' comic book.
Wait, it's not based on the Molly Macaulay Culkin movie?
That was terrible, wasn't it?
Oh, that was bad.
Was it John Cleese that played the...
No. Oh, frick. No, it was somebody else. It was who's...
Oh, it was the dad from Jumanji.
Yes. Jonathan Hyde.
Okay.
Played the butler. Yes.
Yeah,
and he was in The Mummy, too.
Yes, he was.
In Jumanji. He was like the hunter in Jumanji, and he was in The Mummy.
Yep.
And he's a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company.
That's funny. Yeah, all these classically trained actors, and these are the things we remember them for.
You're the butler from Richie Rich.
Yeah, I also did Henry V, and
you were funny. Do you know Macaulay Culkin?
Oi. A couple other things on Netflix of note this week. Mel Brooks' tribute to Alfred Hitchcock, High Anxiety.
Nice.
Which is still one of my favorites, but it is a noticeable step down from Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, well, what isn't?
I know, but it was kind of the beginning and the end, because then he started doing, I think, To Be or Not to Be was after that, and then we got to Robin Hood Men in Tights, which I know people love, but I just don't get it.
Mm-mm.
And then we went down to Dracula Dead and Loving It, and it was just like... But then he turned around and did some great stage adaptations, so who am I to say?
Yeah.
The other interesting thing of note, the end of this coming week, Bubba Hotep, which is Don Coscarelli's brilliant little fantasy horror tale about Elvis, played by Bruce Campbell, and JFK... played by Ossie Davis, taking on an ancient mummy that's terrorizing their nursing home.
Seriously, the best.
It sounds so bizarre, but it is a fantastic movie. It really is. And we have an interview with Don up on DVD Verdict that I had the extreme pleasure of doing. And he's a great guy. I don't think he works enough. If you don't know him, he did all those Phantasm movies. He did Beastmaster. He's just one of those directors that needs to be working more than he does, in my opinion. Okay, over at Hulu, we've got several Riff Tracks episodes. And Riff Tracks, for those of you Mystery Science Theater non-fans, I should say, this is Mike Nelson and Kevin Murphy and Bill Corbett who do Riff Tracks, because Cinematic Titanic is the other half of the Mystery Science Theater crowd. Frank Conniff and Joel Hodson and Trace Ballou and Mary Jo Peel. Yeah, the Riff Tracks, it's the same concept. You know, these guys sit around and rip on movies and very funny and very enlightening ways. So the two that are on Hulu this week are Reefer Madness and Carnival of Souls.
Okay.
Defenders of the Earth, which is an 80s animated series, which I believe Mac McIntyre reviewed for us at Verdict. It's a weird thing. It teamed up Flash Gordon with Mandrake the Magician and the Phantom to fight in space and take down Ming the Merciless. So they were smoking weed when they came up with the concept of this, but hey, whatever. It went for like two seasons. And then the third thing is another, you know, I know you found some interesting things. I think it was Misfits that you really liked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I was a big fan of Skins, which is another indie Brit series. But this is called The Cut. And it's a relatively new UK kind of teen soap opera with a dark edge, kind of along the same lines as Skins, where they deal with heavy kind of adult scenarios like lies and murder and sexual infidelity. But that seems to be kind of rising through the ranks of Hulu this week. So if that's your cup of tea, you might want to go and check that out. Over at Amazon Instant, of course, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they occur and sometimes before. But as we get into film festival season now, a lot of these independent producers are starting to use video on demand and streaming as a way to introduce their audiences to films that they might not get a chance to see because they either don't go into theaters for very long or they're in little independent art house theaters that a lot of people outside of big major metropolitan areas do not have access to. So there's movies like Giant Mechanical Man, which is The Office's Jenna Fisher and Topher Grace.
That's
a romantic comedy that shows it only takes one person to make you feel special. There's another documentary kind of on the food industry. This one's called Farmageddon, which deals with the downfall of family farms because governments are paying these farmers not to grow crops.
Yeah.
And the other one is Toni Collette and Michael Sheen in a movie called Jesus Henry Christ.
Okay.
Which is a comedy about a 10-year-old genius kid who gets kicked out of school for being a disruption.
Okay.
So that could be something interesting to see because both of them are fantastic actors. And that's what I've got. So I'll throw it over to you.
Okay. Well, not a huge week on TV, but something, if you're not a huge Glee fan, you still might want to check out if you're a big Whitney Houston fan this week, or maybe you really want to stay away from it because they will be doing Whitney songs.
The entire show?
Yeah. Well, they've done this before. They did a Madonna episode and a Gaga episode and stuff. So, you know, kind of little memorial to her, they're doing Whitney songs this week.
Well, I mentioned that I was just uploading a whole bunch of stuff to the upcoming releases calendar. There are no less than 6 unauthorized Whitney Houston autobiography DVDs coming.
I'm surprised they're not out already. Yeah. And Wednesday, Sci-Fi has a new show. It's called Total Blackout.
Yeah.
It's like a game show. You have to do challenges.
Okay.
Except it's in complete darkness.
Shut up.
Yeah, and here's the best part of it. Ready? Hosted by Jaleel White.
What?
Taking a break from dancing, I guess. And hosting a sci-fi competition show.
Okay, now I have a question for you. So I'm guessing this is all like that infrared scope stuff?
Exactly.
Okay. Because otherwise it wouldn't play. Like, you'd be watching a black screen.
It's like Paris's sex tape. It looks just like One Night in Paris. Except they're not completely naked.
Oh, at least not yet. That'll come later as the show progresses.
Right, when ratings start to drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Farm animals and nakedness. Okay.
All right. So that's Wednesday that premieres. And another new show that had just started last week, Kathy Griffin.
Yes.
It's a weekly like talk show.
Oh.
Not reality show, not like her old show, but it's on Bravo.
All right.
Thursday nights. Oh. So if you're a fan of her, or if you're just a fan of people making fun of celebrities, you should check that out. So, and music this week, a couple Broadway things. Bonnie and Clyde, original Broadway cast recording, is coming out this week.
Oh, how did I miss that one?
And then Ghost the Musical.
Oh, brother.
The cast recording is coming out. Yeah. But in, quote, regular music, Jack White's new album, Blunderbuss, is coming out. And the cool thing about this is it's being released on vinyl, too.
Nice.
Yeah, so not just, you know, can't downloading and CD and whatever, but you can actually get a record album.
Sweet.
Lee Bryce, who is country music writer. He's written for all the big stars. Mm. Has his own album coming out this week. Hard to Love. And 2 is the number 2. Because, I don't know, he thinks he's Prince or something. But it was really people, the only one that can get away with that.
MC Hammer, too legit to quit?
No, no, no. If you are not Prince, do not put numbers or words in your album and song titles. I'm sorry. He is the only one that is allowed to do that. Thank you very much. Barry Manilow has a new album, and it's a live album, live in London. So you can check that out. Books this week. Stephen King, new Dark Tower novel, The Wind Through the Keyhole.
So this is an ongoing series?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought maybe that could be, they keep talking about people who want to make, I think Ron Howard was the last one to say that he was going to make the Dark Tower.
Yeah, it keeps being talked about. We'll see if it actually comes to fruition.
Okay, so but I didn't realize that he was still writing.
Yes.
Okay.
He's still writing Dark Tower.
Okay.
Bunch of Kurt Vonnegut, well, one book with a bunch of Kurt Vonnegut, novels and stories, 1950 to 1962.
That could be cool.
Yeah, and so it's edited by Sidney Oftit, but it's a bunch of shorter Kurt Vonnegut stuff.
Hmm.
So put together, it's got The Piano Player, The Sirens of Titan, Mother Night, bunch of stuff for Vonnegut fans there. And then a couple actors have books out this week. Mary Lou Henner has a book called Total Memory Makeover, Uncover Your Past, Take Charge of Your Future. And the interesting thing with this is, I don't know if you've ever seen interviews with her. She has what's known as highly superior autobiographical memory. You can give Mary Lou Henner any date in her whole life, and she can tell you exactly what she was doing on that day.
That's freaky.
Yeah, she's got one of these freaky, freaky memories. So she actually wrote a book about how to improve your memory and how to uncover things that happened to you to, you know, make them positive, whatever. So if you're a fan of hers or just interested in that, that's out this week. And then Joey Pants. He had done a documentary.
Yes.
About mental illness, which he suffers from serious depression.
Right.
And so now he has a book out called Asylum, Hollywood Tales from My Great Depression, Brain Disease, Recovery, and Being My Mother's Son.
Wow.
So again, this is like tying for like longest title.
Right.
But this could be really interesting. So it's a bit of a memoir, but it's not so much just about being famous in Hollywood. It's about dealing with his depression.
Yeah. And if you don't know, this is not uncommon with artistic and creative people to suffer from these types of mental illnesses. So it's a very big thing, even though a lot of people do not talk about them. And Joey has made a kind of crusade to destigmatize mental illness.
Yes.
And he's done an excellent job. He's doing it in the schools with young kids, because that's the only way you're going to be able to kind of change the perception is to start from young. But I think he's now moving into trying to get adults to see the same thing. So.
Yeah. And so, and if you're looking for that one, you're going to want to look under Joe Pantoliano.
Yes.
And theater this week, Matthew Broderick is heading back to Broadway.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. He has a play that opens this week. It's him and Kelly O'Hara, who's a famous Broadway actress.
Okay.
It's the Gershwins, Nice Work If You Can Get It.
Not familiar.
That is opening this week. And then another play just opened, Clybourne Park. And that I'm mentioning because it's by one of my favorite playwrights, Bruce Norris. And this play actually is, he won Pulitzer Prize for it. It's a black comedy. Bruce Norris is associated with Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago.
Did he do Purple Heart?
He did The Pain and the Itch, which is set, it's a holiday and family coming together and their daughter has a pain and an itch.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, young girl, and it's kind of family drama, but it's very black comedy too. And so is Clybourne Park.
Interesting.
So what's happening in Hollywood this week?
Some not so fun news. Dick Clark, as if you haven't been living under a rock, had passed away earlier this week from a massive heart attack in Santa Monica. He was actually going in for some type of procedure.
Oh.
And apparently died on the table. he was 82. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he'd been struggling since he had that stroke a few years back.
Right, and, right.
But then look back at all the stuff he gave us. I mean, you talk about music television. Dick Clark kind of defined how we see music on TV.
Absolutely.
These days.
And how many bands wouldn't have made it if it weren't for him giving them a break on American Bandstand? Yeah. I mean, I remember watching huge acts, you know, Madonna on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he introduced me to lots of singers, musicians that I probably wouldn't have known without him.
Absolutely. It was a staple of Saturday morning television, and he will be missed. I mean, he hadn't been, you know, as prolific in his later years, and now we're kind of stuck with Ryan Seacrest being the heir apparent to Dick Clark. But
well, you know what? He has been anyhow,
yeah.
And I didn't like them, like, kind of hauling Dick out.
Yeah, for New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, just for that little bit.
But I think if I'm assuming this correctly, I think that was Dick's idea rather than everybody else.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it was. But I'm just, yeah.
Yeah.
Was hard to watch. So, yeah. But yeah, him and Don Cornelius in the.
Yes.
So within a year to lose both of them.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, kind of sad. But more positive music news.
Yeah.
Robin Gibb is actually out of his coma. We talked about this last week, that it wasn't looking good. He does have cancer. He is very sick.
Okay.
But he is doing better.
Well.
At the moment than he was a week ago. So that's good.
The other death this week was the original Barnabas Collins, Jonathan Frid.
Yeah.
Just a couple of weeks before the movie is set
right,
to open.
Right.
Jonathan was 87. He was a stage actor before he got into television and kind of shrunk out of the public eye after, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, after Dark Shadows kind of faded. But he was, you know, he went to all the fan conventions and all that kind of stuff, and he will be forever identified with that role. It's just too bad that he didn't get to be a part of the whole hoopla of the
Exactly.
Of the film.
Exactly.
Disney Studios is going through a bit of a tumultuous time. We had the whole John Carter disaster. Yeah,
they do that every now and then, though, don't they?
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah.
But Rich Ross, who was the president, after they fired Dick Cook several years ago, who was responsible for, like, all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and stuff like that, he and Bob Iger kind of have a difference of opinion. So Dick Cook was fired. They brought in Rich Ross. And now with this John Carter thing, Rich has resigned this week. And I say that in air quotes because somebody needed to take a fall for this mess. But the front runner for that job, who kind of oversees all of the Disney theatrical productions, all of the film studio side, not the animation stuff. John Lasseter is still in charge of that. But the live action film. Kevin Feige, who's been fronting the Marvel Empire, is now rumored to be up for the big spot at the House of Mouse. So we will see what happens there.
All right.
Reboots continue. So Dermot Mulroney had filmed a pilot for The Rockford Files for NBC a couple years ago. And it didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
Well, now Vince Vaughn has gotten a hold of the franchise.
No.
And he's making a movie.
Mm.
With himself as Jim Rockford.
Mm. I'm not against a TV show.
Yeah.
Or even a movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's the best.
You know, and
I like Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah.
Better in it.
But I have a problem with iconic stuff. James Garner is Jim Rockford, okay?
Yeah.
You can go and watch the 10 series that, you know, the 10 seasons that are on
exactly.
DVD and appreciate what he did with this. I don't see the need to reinvent it for something else. Come up with a different character for Vince. You know, let him create something new. Why do we have to keep going back and trying to rehash old stuff?
Yep. Yeah, we basically say that every week, don't we?
It just seems to be, yeah.
Nothing new.
No. But then again, Russell Crowe has just been signed on to play Noah for Darren Aronofsky's film Noah's Ark.
Okay.
So there's a story that's getting remade again.
Be interesting. Huh.
It's a couple other big movie news, and then I'll shut up. The Dark Knight Rises, the next trailer. Will play before the Avengers opens, which is kind of weird because mostly studios don't allow other studios to show their stuff before, but
right.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And Iron Man 3 is just announced that they're going to be shooting here in North Carolina this summer.
Very cool.
Sir Ben Kingsley and Guy Pearce are both rumored to be joining the cast as the film's villains.
Nice.
Yeah, so Kingsley would play the Mandarin, and Guy Pearce would play. I'm not going to go into the details of the plot, but he's a genius who comes up with this kind of nanotechnology that kind of gets corrupted and used for bad things.
All right. Oh, I hope that ends up being true. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and President Obama is going to be on Jimmy Fallon on Tuesday.
Yes.
So that's kind of the kickoff of his reelection campaign in the major media. So, all right. That's all I got.
All right. Well, Kardashian news this week. Mayor Kim.
Oh, God, I heard this.
This started, who knows how it actually really started, whose bright idea it was to begin with, but she's mentioned it, and then other people have jumped on board, running for mayor of Glendale, California. Which actually, she doesn't live there, which is a slight problem, so she'll have to buy a house there, but that's okay. I'm sure Kanye will buy her house. you know, he's got the cash laying around. But it's a huge Armenian population in Glendale, which is what the Kardashians are.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, the current city councilman has offered to give her a job so she can learn it, and who knows? I'm sure this will not come to pass.
Yeah.
But just the fact that people want her to be their mayor?
It's just
that
yet,
she thinks she could actually do this?
It's yet another publicity stunt.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure Chris is behind because they're trying to think of what else can we do on the show. Well, let's see. If Kim was mayor of Glendale, we've got a whole season worth.
That would just be a wacky sitcom.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I know why they would do it. But I just don't know why actual people that live there and work there and are in government there would think this would be a good idea.
I don't know. And Glendale is a far cry from Calabasas in terms of socioeconomic. Yeah. So
anyhow, that's the real exciting news. So if she does run, I will be sure to let you know so you can go vote for her.
Yeah, because I'm sure the people of Glendale are just going to be falling all over each other to get to the voting booth on that day. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week. And until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Wubba, wubba, wubba.